This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Welcome back to the Junks on a Tuesday morning. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Do that today. In just about 40 minutes, Tariq El-Bashir will join us. He covers the Washington Capitals. We'll talk about their current heater that they're on, and of course, Ovi's injury that he sustained last night in Utah. But right now, it's time to hit the skins. Brought to you by our friends at Don't Sleep Energy Drink.
All right, Valdez, I appreciate you playing the good hail to the Redskins, hail to the Skins, hail to the Commanders. Given that we're coming off a couple losses here, very kind of you. I appreciate that.
Typically, Tuesday, if the game was Sunday, it would be sad.
But because we're a few days away from the Thursday. All right, I'll take it. I like it.
It's an executive decision.
Okay, good.
Everyone's okay with it.
I'm feeling optimistic, by the way. After hearing Dan Quinn's comments, I know we're going to get into it more in the next segment, but it's a lead story. Everybody's questioning whether or not Jaden is healthy. And do you want to play the audio? Okay, here's Dan giving you his take on what's going on with Jaden.
Jaden is not injured right now, but we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do, and we don't have banked reps in years, so we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
And because of that, where do you see that? Is it the rhythm of the pass game? Where do you see that affecting the pass game most?
I would say the rhythm and timing too, John, I think is a big piece of it too. You have to be able to run things full speed. Walkthroughs are good to help where you do a line and where do you target, but you need the practice. You need the full speed reps to really, you know, let it rip and go. And so that's why that's such an important piece of what we do, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday of the week. So we'll look forward to getting into some full weeks for sure, John.
I buy it, by the way. I buy it completely. It makes all the sense in the world. He's just not getting the reps. And over the last 4 weeks or so, they've been managing him. And he's been doing walkthroughs and some limited stuff. But he talked about pre-practice reps that he was doing, the post-practice reps. We know the guy is there all day, right? Watching the film. He's got his VR headset. He's running extra stuff with the guys. But as they've been managing this injury, he hasn't been able to get those reps, and you're starting to see that result. I buy the fact that he's not really that hindered during the game because I see him rip off the 65-yard Hail Mary, the ripper pass to McCaffrey on the sideline that he dropped.
Even in the last game, he had, on the last drive, I think it was the last drive, that one completion to McLaurin where he was rolling right, bootlegged, and he zipped it in there. I mean, he threw a missile.
I buy it.
I just put it up as our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. Do you believe head coach Dan Quinn that Jaden Daniels is not injured? Takes, do you believe him? I feel like you're going to say no.
I thought he's been injured this whole time.
You don't believe the coach?
I have a hard time trusting any NFL head coach when they go up and they're trying to be, you know, coy about whether somebody's injured or not. Dan Quinn seems like a stand-up guy. I still think there might be some lingering residue from that rib injury.
I don't think
he's 100%.
I buy it. I think the injury is not what's holding him back. What's held him back has been those 3 or 4 weeks that he was dealing with it. They limited him. He was limited in practice.
I could kind of buy that.
He was doing walkthroughs. He's just not getting the reps. It's like if you go out and play golf and you don't play for a couple weeks and you just walk the course, you're not going to play. You know, you need the reps. Need reps.
You're not listening hard enough. He's saying he's not injured right now.
Jaden is not injured right now.
Right.
Meaning he probably.
Of course. Right. First, that's why they were managing him. Yeah, 100%. They were managing it. Mm. And they needed him to heal. And so he was doing walkthroughs.
Is it as simple as they're not in sync? Like, is that simple?
Some of that, I think he's not in sync. I think you need reps to stay sharp, right?
Well,
you need reps.
As bad as the Cowboys
are. High speed, full speed reps.
Like, I just feel like they can just smash mouth the Cowboys into submission.
Should be able to.
I mean, I hope so.
Look at what Mixon did. Look at what the Eagles did to them the week before. Like, I don't think you need a 100% Jaden Daniels to beat this Cowboys team they are right now.
I agree with that. I mean, he wasn't 100%, I don't think, leading up to that Steelers game, and they were a play or two away from that.
I would, Hurts had 20 attempts 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw the same number of attempts or even, 18 or 19 attempts. And then the rest of it's just a lot of Eckler, a lot of B-Rob, and a few Jaden runs sprinkled in there, too.
What is the competitive advantage of, let's assume he is injured.
Mm-hmm.
What's the competitive advantage of lying about it, saying he's not injured, which is what Dan Quinn said?
I don't know if there's a real competitive advantage. I just think these coaches are all notoriously paranoid about giving up any sort of intel about the health of their players.
Don't you think
especially
reps
their quarterbacks.
Matter? Don't you think reps matter? Like, you need reps to stay sharp.
I think reps matter, but I think health is more important than your reps.
Well, that's why they've made the decision.
That's why they limited the reps, because he wasn't good enough. They wanted to protect him. They wanted him to heal, so he didn't get in enough reps. Now, they have the 10 days. They're going to be able to also playing on a short week. Mm-hmm. That also hurt him, because they couldn't do full practices there. He might have been healthy enough.
They've really
got
the rest. They have the rest advantage big time on the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys played on Monday night. The Commanders have been resting since late Thursday.
The biggest factor,
they should come out shot out of a cannon in this game.
It's so obvious. The biggest factor is
playing better.
They
teams.
Played the Steelers and the Eagles. Just look at where those teams are ranked defensively. Think about the players that changed the game
performance. But it's not just because of them.
But the offensive line, which has been good throughout the season, had problems dealing with Hayward on Pittsburgh. Did a pretty good job on T.J. Watt, but had problems dealing with Hayward. And then had major problems dealing with Jalen Carter.
That's also dealing with injury. They're banged up.
Right. Well, those guys up the middle all of a sudden are in Jaden's face a little bit more. And the timing was just a little bit off, because he's speeding up his clock a little bit.
100%.
Receivers aren't as open as much.
Totally true.
I mean, you looked at, now it was only 5 or 6 clips. I don't go through the all 22. I'm not going to lie and say I do. But watching the game, you heard about Mitchell, right? Mitchell Island. You heard about that with Terry McLaurin. Then I saw Pro Football Focus or one of these sites put out a clip. And you could see that there were 20 different routes that Terry McLaurin ran on Mitchell, the rookie, and he wasn't really open.
Well, he definitely never threw him the ball. That I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, maybe he wasn't getting open. You're going up against a better defense. Right now, the Eagles are number one in the NFL in terms of yardage. Unless that changed, maybe the Chargers are there. But the last I checked, the Eagles were number one.
And by the way, you said you were worried about Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
He was a ghost on the field last night. He had one tackle.
I watched a little bit. I saw him running around. He was in the backfield. He may not have made a play.
Okay, he may have been running around. Chase Young runs around a lot on the field, too.
I knew you were going to say that.
Now, well, Chase runs one burst.
I know who's a much better player. It's Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I mean, but Chase has one burst, and he shuts down.
Micah's not 100%, and hopefully he doesn't get much better in these next few
days.
So
if you just want some numbers, I'll just give you some numbers. Over the first seven games of the season, I'm going to steal this from Kime or whoever's doing this report here. For ESPN.com, they kind of compiled the stats here in this article. Over the first seven games of the season, Washington ranked third in scoring, 30.1 points per game, fourth in yards at 384. Over the last four, while he's been dealing with this, while they've been, I guess, somewhat limited, and they've been more banged up, not just Jaden, offensive line, other guys, B-Rob missed a couple games, the Commanders are 14th in points, right? Looking like a totally different team. These last 4 weeks, they're only scoring 22.5 a game, and they've gone from fourth in yards to 19th in yards, down to 336.
There are a lot of factors. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. The Cliff Kingsbury storyline is there about second half swoons, right? But when they faced the Steelers, they ended up putting up 27 points. The Steelers only give up 16.2 points per game. The Eagles only give up 17.9 points per game. The Eagles have the number one defense in terms of yardage. So I think that's the biggest factor. The Cliff Kingsbury thing, we'll see. I mentioned this yesterday. Florio said, look, there's a lot more film. So these defensive coordinators now are coming in with a certain strategy, whereas they may not have, even though they knew what Jaden Daniels did in college, they may not have utilized spies like they're using in these games, at least the last couple of games. Now, some teams may not have the personnel. They're facing a Cowboys team that gives up basically 30 points a game. So the last two teams they played weren't even giving up 18 points a game. They're facing a team that gives up 30.
28 points is, they have to hit 28 is the minimum. In my opinion, the Commanders against this Cowboys
to feel good about their mojo.
Yes.
Yeah.
28-30 because the last two opponents have gotten to 34.
And a lot of it too is they haven't been able to establish the running game like they did. Now Jaden's part of that because you kind of hope that Jaden gives you 40-50 yards rushing. And they tried in the Eagles game. What do you have? 7-8 carries. He just was limited. They got to get that running game going again. And again, it's a get right spot because the Cowboys are the second worst in the NFL stopping the run.
I think you're going to see 15 to 18 carries for B-Rob. You're going to see 3 to 5 from Eckler and hopefully about the same number from Jaden.
Yeah.
And that should get the job done against this defense.
I just want to see, and I think we will, crisper passing. Everyone points to the Noah Brown pass where he threw it at his feet and they just assume he's injured. I think, you know, he didn't necessarily step and plant. He was rushed.
Yeah, it looked like he was throwing off his back foot on
back.
That one.
I think there was quite a few there. And I think, again, that points to reps, timing, stepping in. Also, give credit to the defense for getting him off his platform and having him throw off his back foot. So I expect to see a much sharper Jaden.
The last three quarterbacks to face this Dallas defense, my man Kirky, 19 of 24. Jalen Hurts, 14 of 20. C.J. Stroud, 23 of 34.
Not a ton of attempts, which tells you teams were running on him.
Yeah. I mean, Stroud threw the ball 34 times last night, and Mixon was jamming it down their throat throughout the game.
Now, another sign potentially of some good news is it seems like there is a chance here for the first time for Lattimore to potentially make his debut with the Commanders this week. Dan Quinn said yesterday in his presser that they're trending in the right direction. He keeps saying, you know, we're not going to miss anything. We're not going to skip any sort of steps along the way. They know how to handle soft tissue injuries, but they like where he's at. And I think they expect him to practice some towards the end of the week. If he practices some, like Thursday, Friday, look for him to play.
I'll finally take an L on the Marshawn Lattimore. His hamstring's going to heal as soon as he's on the airplane from New Orleans to Washington. Apparently, that wasn't the case.
Now,
I guess it's a real legit injury.
No, it's a real legit injury. And Quinn was asked, I think J.P. Finley asked him, if they knew what they were getting. And he said, yeah, they knew that, you know, he wasn't going to be a plug and play guy right away, that he had to heal from his injury.
I'm just taking injury L's left and right. It's not great.
He also was asked, he gave some interesting nuggets. He was asked about Jordan McGee. I think David Aldridge asked him about Jordan McGee, the guy that kind of surprised people in training camp, but hasn't gotten a real opportunity. He said, listen, they love what they see from Jordan. He's making some plays on special teams, but he's got Wagner and Luvu ahead of him. But, you know, they love what they see. He just hasn't had a real opportunity. He said the same thing about Sinnott. They'd love to get Sinnott out there. They like everything they see. This is what my position has been. They love everything about Sinnott, but they just got John Bates is playing really well, and Zach Ertz is playing really well. Just got some guys ahead of them. So, you know, their opportunities will be there eventually, and they're very high on both guys. I thought that was good. This is also interesting. Somebody threw out there some potential. This is from, what is this? From SI.com. Okay, David Harrison wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
Two sleeper Pro Bowlers potentially for the kind of season that they're having. The first one I don't even think you could argue is a sleeper. Do you care to guess?
Offense or defense?
Defense.
A defensive sleeper for the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
Frankie Luvu?
Dante Fowler.
Okay.
That's a good one.
I don't even know how that could be a sleeper at this
sacks?
Point.
Eight, I mean, or 8.5?
Something like that.
I'll double check.
I thought
that.
It was maybe 8.5. He's got a bunch, right?
Yep.
And I don't know how that, I mean, obviously it'll be a sleeper if you bet on it before the season, but with the kind of season he's having, how could you deny him a Pro Bowl bid if he continues?
Mm-hmm.
The other one, this is what kind of shocked me, and I don't know if I agree with it, but part of this shocks me. Austin Eckler, they say, is a sleeper, and it's not because he's been super productive as a running back, but he's basing a lot of it on what he's done returning kicks.
Mm-hmm.
He's like top six or something like that. Remember, yeah. He had the 98-yarder or whatever that was called back.
Was that in the opener?
Yeah.
I think it was in the opening game.
And if they didn't call that one back, he'd be way up there.
Yeah.
But here's what's shocking. Austin Eckler has never made a Pro Bowl before.
That does kind of surprise me.
Isn't that shocking?
I was hyping up Eckler as a Hall of Famer a couple years ago, maybe even this past year.
He's never made a Pro Bowl before.
Well, that's a ridiculous injustice.
Well, but they only take probably three running backs.
He kind of gets disrespected because he's a hybrid.
He does a lot
of it through the passing game.
And right. You think about it, like in the AFC, you know, in years past, you'd have guys like Jonathan Taylor, right. Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? You're going to bump out Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get the seat at the Pro Bowl table. I understand, but he's had seasons where he's certainly worthy of consideration.
All right, when we come back, let's get into this Jaden deal. We'll play the audio again of DQ talking about Jaden and his injury status. Are you buying what DQ is selling? I actually am.
And if he's telling the truth and he's not injured, why is he struggling?
Well, he told you why. He's not getting the reps.
Are you buying that?
I'm buying it.
Or do you think it's something else?
All right, we'll take your calls on that next. 800-636-1067. We're the Junks. We'll be right
back. I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back. You're welcome to call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. Are you buying what DQ is selling about Jaden Daniels, saying that he's not injured right now? It's a lack of reps that have caused him to have some uneven play in the last few weeks.
Full speed reps, and especially the short week last week,
mm-hmm.
that kind of compounded it. The timing. He's saying the rhythm and the timing's off. Plus, you throw in, as JP's mentioned many times, and he's right, of course, better opponents, much stiffer defensive competition in particular. And then you combine that with your offensive line, where you're shuffling guys, yet friggin'
rookie.
Right.
Rookies now, have ups and downs in their first seasons.
It's a great point.
It's
a great
happens.
Point. Somebody, I wanted to go through a couple of tweets, and again, you can call us 800-636-1067. Why do you think Jaden Daniels' play has dipped? Is it an injury, which Coach Quinn says doesn't exist anymore? I thought this guy made a good point. Coach Rose on Twitter. I don't know what he coaches. He may be a real coach. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. They said people always look for excuses. When they don't or can't run the ball, his protection has been nowhere near as good. Let's be honest, until they face good teams, he had great protection. Now he is under duress, and the processing has been sped up, leading to off-target throws.
100%.
Makes
sense. You can see it. You can see it. He's not stepping into throws. He's being rushed. The timing's off a little bit. And then you throw in, you know, he's just not quite getting all the extra reps, too, to keep his technique sharp. You got guys banged up in front of you. You're playing much better opponents. I expect to see a much sharper Jaden this week. Now, a guy like Drabby, who thinks he doesn't think he sucks. He backed off that. But who thinks he's just an average passer of the football? This is what Drabby thinks he is. This is who Jaden Daniels is, in Drab's opinion.
I think it's possible.
Oh, I don't think it's possible. I think this is an anomaly. This is just the low. This is, you know, the circumstances. You're going to see him play better this week.
The league adjusts. Now,
adjust.
I don't know that the Cowboys are capable of doing what the Eagles and the Steelers just did. But there may be different defensive game plans that are affecting Jaden Daniels.
Possible.
Beyond the personnel. This game's going to be telling. I would be very worried if Jaden has a subpar game against the Cowboys in terms of accuracy, in terms of passing. Now, I don't think he's going to put up 300 yard and four touchdowns against Cowboys
year.
Because the game plan should be we're going to pound the football against them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the game plan.
All year.
I'm guessing that will be the approach come Sunday.
He hasn't had 350 yard games with five touchdowns. That's not what he's doing.
If he looks like he did against the Eagles, I would be very troubled because this Cowboys team, I understand they've got Micah Parsons and they have some individual players that are good. They seem like they are in death march. And I'm sure all the players on the team are just waiting for the season to be over.
We had Matt Verderam on yesterday. He made a good point. He said, look, when you're 3-7 or whatever, I think the Cowboys are 3-7. Guys may not admit they're quitting, but deep down, you know what they are? Quiet quitting. There's some quiet quitting going on there. Mm. And it's hard to dispute that when they look at the way their team is composed right now. There's no Dak. They have no semblance of a running game. The defense gives it up to everybody. They're allowing 34 points per game over the last five losses.
I think what happens is when you're on a team like that, when you're on a team like that, you start every game with the best of intentions. But as you get down by the middle of the second quarter, you subconsciously,
right.
you just
say,
don't
you
have
know
that
what?
Same.
We're just not, yeah,
you don't have that same oomph.
They know that we're up against it.
Yeah.
We're not nearly as good as this team that we're facing. And we'll put forth our best effort, but that's not going to prevent us from getting beat 31-10.
All right, 800-636-1067. Are you buying what DQ's selling? You want to play it one more time, Valdez? Here you go. Here's DQ yesterday talking about Jaden and his health.
Jaden is not injured right now, but we did lose valuable practice time, John, with him and his teammates when he was injured. And that's hard on all the guys. It's a really, really important part of what we do. And we don't have banked reps in years, so we're very much looking forward to getting back onto a full week and regular practice sessions with the guys. So over the last few weeks, we've had to, you know, put that together in small bits. So that's what I think into that space. And as we're heading into this week, we're looking forward to getting a full week of our practice and, you know, work the things that we need to.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Tiger Woods, if you're LeBron James. Those guys outwork everybody.
Yeah.
You got to get the reps in to stay as sharp as you could be. And he hasn't been quite as sharp. And I think the health is, I mean, I've seen him rip balls. Rip balls. He ripped one 65 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
And he's had extra time for reps and rest this week.
Yeah, I think this week he's going to be a lot better.
And also, the Cowboys, they're just a joke at this point. Did you see the horrendous fake punt that they attempted?
I actually didn't see that.
Well, they were on their own 29-yard line. It's 4th and 9.
And got 6 yards.
It's midway through the first quarter. Or maybe even less than that. I think there were 10 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first quarter. And the punter throws a lollipop. The guy gets tackled 3 yards short.
I mean, you're trying to take him by surprise because we saw the Steelers do that against the Commanders, right, and it would have worked except that the guy dropped a lollipop throw. Mm-hmm. So I don't hate them for
this one was dead on
surprise.
Arrival.
I hate them for the execution that you don't even throw it far enough.
It was gross.
And maybe it's, you know, credit the defense. 800-636-1067. We've talked about it from all angles. You know, the proof is going to be in the pudding how he plays against Dallas. Because if he doesn't play well against Dallas, then maybe there's an issue. Like it's a regression. It's the league catching up to you, possibly. The league catching up to Cliff.
Yeah.
That narrative will continue.
Let's go. We need your boy Cliff to come off probation. This is the off probation week.
Cliff needs to dig around the house or whatever condo he's renting and find his bag.
I don't even think he needs to go that deep into his bag. I think he just needs to break out his best running plays bag and, right, and go into that. And that should be able to get the job done.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Lanham. Kevin, what's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? Long time no hear, man.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Man. Hey. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I miss you guys. But look here, man. I think the coach is telling the truth. It's Tell the Truth Monday. But you remember that movie, The Program, with James Caan? When Omar Epps got hurt, he said, "Are you injured or are you hurt?" And Omar Epps was like, "What's the difference? If you're injured, I got to take you out of the game. If you're hurt, you can still play." Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of coach speak, and that's why they keep using the word injured and not hurt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
if you're hurt, you can still play.
Right. Hurt might be sore ribs. Injured would be something that takes you out, not allowed to play.
I would always reference Any Given Sunday over The Program, but that's just personal preference for me.
I'm a Rudy guy.
Even though I hate all of the Notre Dame propaganda, Rudy does get me to borderline tear up at the end when he sacks the quarterback and they carry him off the field. I mean, it's a great moment.
No, I think
I have to fight the tears.
That's your
off,
most
EB.
Emotional part. To me, the most part is when he gets in. He's like,
boohooing at the looking out into the water. Move me.
Can I get back to his point though, Kevin? Didn't Kevin say he is hurt?
He's saying DQ was using the word injured.
But his example was, if you're injured, I can't play you.
Right.
If you're hurt,
you play through it. Hurt is different. Hurt like, is a lesser
think of the
version.
Word, think of the word sore.
No, I understand.
And injured being like an MCL keeps you out.
I think he's got it backwards.
Hurt being like
we hope
sore.
That Ovi is hurt.
Right.
We hope that Ovi is hurt,
right,
but not injured.
Right.
We don't want injured. We want slightly
hurt. I don't think
because that would be hard.
I don't think he's either at this point. I honestly don't.
I don't know. I know this, that nobody was making these excuses after the Bears game or the Giants game, and not even really after the Steelers game. He has the bad game against the Eagles, and now everybody's convinced he's hurt.
It's largely because of one throw. He threw the one ball at Noah's feet.
Now I would say it's beyond that. And to me, the offense in general has struggled more.
I'm not saying it was his only bad
an
one.
Offense that wasn't punting at all of a sudden over two games, punted 11 times. An offense that was never having three and outs over two games had 8 three and outs. So the offense needs to get going. And to me, a lot of it, they're going to get healthy. They should get healthy against the Cowboys, is get that running game going again. It's not a coincidence that Jaden's play hasn't been as good in the two games where they didn't even get to 100 yards rushing.
Of course. It's a huge factor. Let's go to Clinton. Clinton, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yep, sure.
Hey, I definitely think he was initially hurt worse than they told us or worse than they thought, and they just let him play through it. Because why do they keep wrapping him every time he goes to the bench? I think that would...
Preventative.
They would not be doing that anymore. I know it's preventative, but at the same time, wouldn't that also restrict his movement just having that wrap on?
I mean, my understanding from talking to a buddy is that they're just trying to keep that rib in place in case it was going to pop out or something. I don't know.
And he's also – I don't understand why at the first couple weeks he was outrunning all the linemen, and now he's getting chased down by these linemen, and they're catching up to him.
Well, there's some of it is personnel-driven. Like, when they faced – Patrick Queen, who was spying on him. I know we had Baldy on. He did a breakdown. If you watched his breakdown on Instagram or Twitter, it's sometimes a special talent can negate somebody
slight report.
you know, different personnel may not be able to catch him.
What
like
does
there
Jaden
was
never run. Like in his pro day, did he run?
He did not.
He's never run anywhere. So we have no tape.
No, but they have these metrics now where they'll give you like the miles per hour, mm-hmm. and some of his runs have been amongst the best in the NFL this year.
What about in the last couple weeks?
Hasn't really had
those. Yeah. All right. So you're saying you think he's still banged up?
Yes, but I think he's definitely getting better. But the initial injury, I think, was worse than what they told anybody. Maybe like a fractured rib or something.
No. If it was fractured, he'd be devastated.
Did I tell you what the poll results are? Have you guys?
Phone doctors chiming in.
Have you guys looked? You can vote at Junks Radio. What do you think? The people.
They don't believe DQ.
They don't believe DQ.
Yeah.
Two-thirds do not believe him.
I think they're dumb.
All right,
I'm with you.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Tarik El-Bashir, Capitals insider for Monumental Sports Network. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. Don't forget, Commanders running back Brian Robinson Jr. joins the show coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, we're going to talk some Caps hockey with Tarik El-Bashir, Capitals insider for Monumental Sports Network. Good morning, Tarik. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. Doing okay.
So
all things considered.
Right. Yeah. So I win the bad timing award, Tarik, because yesterday on the show, before the game against the Utah Hockey Club, I said Valdez probably has it. He can cue it up.
Ovi never gets injured.
I said Ovi never gets injured. I mean, and you tweeted this out, I think just within the past few minutes, that before last night, I'm pretty much correct. You quoted Capitals Outsiders tracker that he's only missed 59 games in 20 seasons, and only 35 of those misses were due to injury. So he has been remarkably durable, but he takes the knee-to-knee last night, that contact with McBain. McBain paid for it later because he ate a lot of fists from Tom Wilson as, you know, payback. But how surprised were you that Ovi basically was helped off the ice? And when will we know more information about it going forward?
Yeah, guys, you know, I've covered Ovi for 20 years now, the entirety of his career, and he doesn't go down and stay down and then leave a game unless he's concerned, unless he's in a lot of pain and he's a little concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, that said, the game was in hand, so, you know, it's always the possibility that, you know, let's take a little time off here and evaluate things. You know, see how things respond. No sense in pushing it by going back out there or making it worse. But like you said, it didn't look great. The optics were not great. And he just doesn't miss a lot of time due to injury. And so when he goes down and he's face down for a minute and then, you know, he came back in that TV timeout and took a twirl around the ice and, you know, you could see the grimace on his face and he went straight down the tunnel with that limp. You know, it's concerning. And that said, NHL teams are notorious for not giving out a whole lot of injury information. So I'm not sure exactly when we're going to know more about it. It happened in Utah. The way the schedule works, they're actually flying back today. You know, not to go off on a tangent here, but, you know, sleep science now, sports science kind of dictates travel a little bit more. So instead of flying through the night like they would have maybe years ago, they actually stay in the city and sleep over and then fly. So there's no practice today. They're going to be in the air for a lot of it. They're scheduled to practice tomorrow morning at MedStar Capital's Iceplex. I suspect that'll probably be the first time we really get an update from a team official. Maybe we'll get something later today, but again, I've covered this team and this player for 20 years and, they don't typically, let a whole lot out with regard to injuries, to anyone, but especially to their superstar. So, I know fans are kind of, you know, on pins and needles out there, but, I'll do some digging today, but you know, I think the first time we get an official thing will be tomorrow.
Do you think it'll be anything specific, or is it going to be the classic lower body injury week to week type thing?
Yeah, it all depends. What I would say is the Caps, even though, and most teams in the NHL, even though they don't really go into detail as to what an injury is, you can usually get a good feel for how much time a player is going to miss, if he's going to miss time, when they say day-to-day or week-to-week. There's a pretty good distinction there.
Mm-hmm.
The NHL isn't really hard on them about that, but I think teams understand that their paying customers, their fans want to know. And so, we don't know a whole lot right now, but like I said, they have practice tomorrow morning. I mean, if Ovi is not out there, then clearly there's going to be an update. And then the thing, if I'm a fan, I'm listening for is that distinction between day to day and week to week. If that in fact is given out, but it's so early in the process right now. I just hate to speculate as to whether he's going to miss time or the severity of the injury.
Well, what we've learned with the Jaden Daniels injury is nobody believes the coach and the organization anyway. Everybody's convinced he's hurt, regardless of what Dan Quinn says.
Yeah. A lot of times, guys, and, I've covered the Commanders, I've covered the NFL as well. Part of the reason for kind of the subterfuge and kind of the, not going into detail with regard to injuries is they're trying to protect the player, right? They don't want the opposing players to know how much pain their guy is in, right? Or where the location of that injury is. Because, I'm not saying that at 25 miles an hour in the NHL, a guy goes, ooh, that guy has a shoulder injury. Let me finish that check a little bit harder. But, maybe they do. I mean, there are guys who can do that. So I think a lot of times that's the team, not wanting to make excuses for the player if he performs poorly, but also just they don't want the other team. They don't want other teams to know that, hey, our guy is at 80%. Why don't you strategize this way or finish your check a little bit harder? Or, if you have a chance to hit him after a throw, land, make sure you land on his ribs. you just don't want that information out there.
Tarek, what a response by the team. Coach Carbs was clearly upset. I mean, he was seemed embarrassed after the loss against the Maple Leafs. The last 20 to 30 minutes of that game were suboptimal, to say the least. But they responded with 16 goals in the three-game road swing. I mean, those West Coast trips are not easy, and the Caps kind of made it look easy with wins over Utah, Vegas, and Colorado.
Yeah, if you're Carberry or management, this is exactly the type of response that you were looking for from your team. I mean, Carberry is he takes losses really hard, and I think sometimes – there have been a handful of times. I think he's a fantastic coach. He's a great communicator, and he's really good with us media. But there are some times after a loss where I'm like, that wasn't great, but oof. Those comments are going to sting a little bit. But you know what? I'm not going to second-guess him anymore. He knows where the buttons are and when to press them, and he's done it for a season plus now with this Capitals team. And, embarrassing is a hard word to swallow if you're a player and you lose in overtime. And, as a coach, you have to be kind of judicious with handing out words like that. But he knows his team, and sure enough, they responded with three of the best performances. I mean, that Colorado game, to me, was the best performance I've seen from a Capitals team since, goodness, I mean, I would say a few years. Maybe there's some recency bias there, but I mean, they shut down Nathan McKinnon and company. Those guys didn't have an inch of space out there, and they did it at altitude in their building, right? Against a good Avs team, a desperate Avs team. So for them to go out there and do that, that really showed, I think, a lot of people around the league. Well, wow, okay. Maybe this team is not just having a hot start. Maybe this is sustainable, and that's what I'm kind of looking at, guys. And, this Ovi injury is kind of hanging over things right now because we don't really know, what his status is going to be, and he's been a huge part of what they've been able to accomplish here. That said, all these goals they're scoring, as well as they're playing defensively, they're getting the timely saves from their two goaltenders. It's starting to look like this team might be really, really good.
Yeah, how surprised are you by this offensive outburst. When Coach Carberry joined us before the season, he said work in progress. You know, specifically a guy like Connor McMichael, who's been great. Yeah. I mean, we kind of, I mean, not that we expected this from Ovi, but we've seen this before. Ovi's one of the greatest players of all time. But Mikey's all of a sudden one of the best goal scorers.
Yeah, I you know, everyone talks about the fact that the Capitals were really aggressive this offseason and essentially turned over a third of their roster, brought in a lot of really good, you know, maybe not star players, but top of the lineup players like Jacob Chychrun and Matt Roy and Pierre-Luc Dubois. But I think not enough credit, at least early on, but I think maybe people are starting to pay attention now, has been the improvement. And this is coaching and development, the improvement of the players already on the roster. You know, you mentioned McMichael there with 12 goals. You know, he had 18 all of last year. But, you know, I also look at Alexei Protas. I mean, mm-hmm. he's gone from, you know, a guy who, you know, played 11, 12 minutes to a goal scorer who's making plays and is really good on the penalty kill. You know, Dylan Strome is a top player in the league right now. He was the leading scorer in terms of points last year, but like he's on pace for triple digits. And I don't know if
I think he's number one in plus minus in the league.
Absolutely, I don't know if he's going to remain on that pace, but you know that's another youngish player, 27 years old, who under Carberry has taken that next step. Rasmus Sandin, you know, he got off to that crazy start, didn't have his visa ready in time for training camp, showed up late. You know, only got into a couple of preseason games. It looked like it took a little bit for him to find his way. And now he's, you know, turning, blossoming into this really, really good two-way defenseman who's, you know, scoring goals, but also playing well in his own end. So, you know, you talk about the new guys their contributions, but McMichael, Protas, Strome, Sandin, you know, even Ferravari to a certain extent, have all taken not just the next step, but a big next step in their development. I think a lot of that goes to the coaching staff. Finally, one other thing I think that's led to this offensive outburst is the contributions of the back end. Defensemen, their primary job is to defend the goal, right? And to keep shots down and to play well on their own end. But they're a big part of the offense too. Are they making good breakout passes? Are forwards, when they're looking for to get out of their zone, are they getting pucks in the right spot so they don't have to slow down and they can, you know, take that puck with speed and start attacking the other way? When you're in your offensive end, are the defensemen keeping the pucks alive? Are they getting shots on goal, which are creating second chances? You look at the way these guys are playing, and, you know, I'm talking about Chychrun in particular with 5 goals. That's already a third way to what he had last year. Last year the Caps defense had 20 goals. That was second to last in the league. You know, they're in the top 10 right now in terms of goals, and that's a massive improvement. That's a big part of your secondary scoring. You can't count on the Ovis and the Stromes and the PLDs and those guys to just totally carry the offense every night. You need your blue line to chip in and to contribute to offense, and they're doing that right now in spades. So that, to me, is also a big part of this this uptick for the offense.
Tarik, thanks as always for the time. Good to reconnect with you. We'll talk with you again soon.
Hey, give me a call anytime, guys.
Yes, sir. That's Tarik El-Bashir.
Thank you, buddy.
He's the Capitals insider for Monumental Sports Network. Don't forget, in just about an hour, Brian Robinson will join us coming up at 9 a.m. We'll do EB's entertainment page next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.